Sorry for Laura.
Thanks a lot.
I think we're a minute late. Okay, are we live? We're live. Okay. So, thank you very much and welcome to everyone for this cabinet meeting on the 15th of December 2022. So I'm just going to run through a few bits and pieces before we start. So this meeting will be recorded and the sound recording subsequently made available via the Council's website. In addition, under the Local Authorities Executive Arrangements Meetings and Access to Information England Regulation 2012, other people may film, record, tweet or blog from this meeting. The use of any such images or sound recordings is not under the Council's control. So let's start off with apologies. Item one, we have no apologies. So on to item two, which is disclosure of pecuniary interests and other registrable and non-registrable interests. So I'm not going to repeat that, but does anyone have anything that they wish to declare under that item? No, nope. I can't see any hands going up.
I just clarify the leader.
Absolutely.
On the budget, because no impact on sort of Leicestershire County Council, we don't declare that or anything.
Karen, do you want to clarify that?
Thanks. So on the budget, for openness and transparency, if you want to just declare that you've got another, well, that would actually be a disclosable pecuniary interest. So if you want to register that, and then we can put that in a minute, yes. Okay. So which item is that?
That's item 7.
Just an interest. I'm not sure it would be a pecuniary interest.
If it's pecuniary, we'd have to leave the room, so I don't think we really want to do that.
Yeah, so register the interest without being pecuniary would be my advice. Yeah. So, you okay with that, Karen?
Other non-registrable, yes, put it as that.
Okay, so Councillor Poland, you wish to declare that you're a member of the County Council.
I do indeed.
Councillor Barclay, you wish to declare that you're a member of the County Council, and Laura, for clarity, I will also declare that I'm a member of the County Council. County Council. Do we also need to declare any parish council members? Are there any parish councillors around the table?
Yep. Councillor Barclay. Councillor, similarly, non-registrable interest there. Okay. Non-pecuniary.
Anyone else for a parish councillor or town councillor? No? Okay, I think that's everyone covered in, I guess. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Right, let's move on to item three. In that case, leaders' announcements. I don't have any announcements this evening. So let's move on to item four, minutes of the previous meeting. That was 17th of November 2022. Is everyone happy that that was a true and accurate record of the meeting? If so, can I move that as a recommendation?
Second.
Second. All those in favour? That's everyone. Thank you very much. And Laura, I've signed those, so they are now legal tender, thank you. So we now move on to item five, questions on the cabinet procedure 10.7, no questions have been submitted. So, Councillor Ward, we're on to you now. So item six, waste management scrutiny panel. Very good to see you, Councillor Ward, and you're here to present the scrutiny panel's report and recommendations. Very good to read it. It's met many, many times over the last year or so, has had a great opportunity to get onto the skin of the subject, as it were, is well worth it. We have obviously read the report, so we'll take that as read. But if you would like to make any additional comments or points of clarity about the report, Councillor Ward, by all means, please do. And then we'll go on to ask you any questions. And then we'll bring in Matt Bradford and others to discuss the report itself. So over to you, Councillor Ward.
Thank you, Lisa, and thank you, Cabinet, for inviting me to present this report on behalf of the Waste Management Scrutiny Panel this evening. I don't really have any points of clarification to add. I just want to give a brief introduction to the report and the work that we've done. So this is the culmination of several months' work by officers, who I'd like to take the opportunity to thank, and members from across the Chamber. The objective was to come up with ideas on how to firstly increase our recycling rates, which have sadly failed to reach our targets this far, and also to reduce the overall amount of waste that enters the residual waste stream. As part of the process, we've examined our own data on waste collections, and we also did some comparisons with other similar authorities to look at the higher and lower performing areas and where we stood against them. The Leicestershire Waste Partnership Waste and Resource Strategy was also published during the course of our work, and that fed into our recommendations as well. We've also engaged with a number of key stakeholders during the process, including our waste collection contractor Serco, tenant members of the Housing Management Advisory Board, local environmental campaign groups, relevant voluntary sector organisations, and also representatives from Loughborough University. As you have seen in the report, we've made 13 recommendations in total, and the lead officer, Matt Bradford, who's there with you this evening and is available to respond to any technical questions, has recommended that all 13 actions be approved. The recommendations are split between points that will be the responsibility of the council itself to action and actions that should be community-led. And all will hopefully encourage residents to reduce, reuse, repurpose, repair, or recycle more. So at this point, I'm happy to either take any questions or hand over to Matt.
Thank you, Councillor Ward. So are there any questions that anyone wishes to ask Councillor Ward about the report itself? No? Okay, thank you very much, Councillor Ward, and thank you very much for the members of the panel for meeting over the duration of the last year and a bit. We pass on our thanks to those councillors. We've got Matt Bradford, who's our head of contracts, leisure, waste and environment, to assist. We've also got our lead member, Councillor Harper Davis. Councillor Harper Davis, can I ask you to say a few words of introduction to obviously from Cabinet's perspective of the report, and then maybe we can open up for questions and discussion points with Matt.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much actually to Emma and the team for actually spending the time and a lot of trouble over many meetings to establish recommendations that they've actually put before us this evening. I think they've gone into the waste management strategy in great depth. And you know, like Emma mentioned, many stakeholders as well, which I've been to several of the meetings, and very constructive meetings. It's just really, really welcome some of the suggestions that we've got before us this evening. We might just have a tweak in those, so we'll discuss that as we come to propose and the reasons set out this evening. Thank you
very much. Can I pass over to Matt now? So Matt, obviously we've got a number of proposals that have come through the panel. Quite a few of those, I mean, as with our own strategy, but also I think all of us have been discussing for quite a long time now, is obviously the new sort of tweaks nationally and the implications on us as collecting authorities. So a lot of these points obviously are also with sort of put together with that in mind. Really just your thoughts on how this is likely to pan out for us as a collecting authority, and how these points can actually be knitted together with, or recommendations be knitted together with some of the points that obviously are coming forward.
If I can bring you, Linda. Yeah, so I've worked quite closely with the panel over the last few months, and I think what we've tried to do with the recommendations is to incorporate the Environment Act recommendations, discuss them, consider the implications and the timings of those, although some of those are still a little bit unclear at the moment. And what we've also been able to do is develop these recommendations in conjunction with publishing the draft Leicestershire Waste and Resources Strategy. So a lot of the recommendations that you have in front of you, or have had input, they complement the forthcoming strategies that are coming and are due to be hopefully adopted in the coming months. So it does all knit together quite neatly.
Okay, thanks. Thank you very much. And obviously there are a number of points that are for the Waste Authority rather than necessarily us as the Collecting Authority, such as, you know, collection of paint at refuse centres, etc. Mm-hmm. So the recommendation obviously is to pass those over to the County Council as the Waste Authority to hopefully look at those and consider those as well. But
If I could comment on that, the recommendations broadly fall into three baskets. I think there are things that we will do ourselves. There are things that we will try and influence with the Waste Disposal Authority, being the County Council, and there are things that are probably more community-led that we will have an enabling, facilitating role there, but not directly deliver. So we've got three sort of pathways to look at delivering this set of recommendations going forwards.
Okay, thank you very much. Right, questions. Councillor Mercer, you've got a question, aren't
I? Yeah, Matt, on panel recommendation 12, working closely with the university on the end of term clearouts. That's ever since we became a councillor almost 8 years ago. That's always been a problem, and I don't think it's ever going to go away. Introducing, looking at this report, HMOs are referred to on a number of occasions in the report. Do you think it's possible, because the licensing of properties that should be clicking into place at the beginning of next month is flexible, it can be extended, and some authorities use that as a way of clamping down on, I think, Nottingham, on bins being left out. That's a licensing condition. Do you think that could offer, extending the panel recommendation 12, that could offer some potential? Only today, just walking close to Southfields, I was slightly shocked at the number of recycled bins that hadn't been taken because students had just used them for dumping ordinary household waste in them. So do you think there's any potential after my time, that's after I become a councillor and I die, in the near future, not the far future, actually looking at the possibility of where licensing is set in, actually using that as a way of exerting influence over people who discard waste in the street?
Yes, through you, Leader. I think there is some potential there in using the licensing powers to enforce some of the issues that we see in the student areas. We do have other powers as well that we use through our council enforcement team to try and encourage the students to use the service in an appropriate way. It is a challenge, as you suggested, the students get a new cohort of students each year. Quite often it's their first experience of living away from home, and they don't always understand their waste management responsibilities. So I think there are a variety of tools in the toolbox, and the licensing is one of them that we can use. I think if we have more persistent issues, I think firstly we'd probably take the education and awareness and then deal with some of the lower level powers first, and then perhaps go on to the licensing where we have particular instances that we were not sort of getting through on our normal enforcement regimes.
Okay, thank you. Right, are there any other questions, Councillor Rattray?
Just a brief one, just on panel recommendation 9. So we're seeing this as a community-led project. I was just wondering if we have a community organisation in mind for that, or if we would be kind of putting it out through our sort of channels that we already know, or if we envisage a whole new community group having to be set up to set that project up. I mean, I think it sounds like a great project. I'm just wondering how easy that is to do, where down the path kind of we see that going, whether it's something that could be relatively quick to turn around because we know there's a group out there that could set it up quite quickly, or if we're starting from scratch.
I think
if you don't know, it's fine. But
that's fine. Through you, Leader. I think Councillor Ward has actually been doing a lot of research into this area, and I support that actually. To have a scrap store, and the library of things, given current economic climate, are frequently used items, but having them available to people that don't have to buy them.
Well, there's some tools that you might only use that once a year.
Absolutely.
So to be able to borrow it rather than buy one, stick it in the garage for 11 and a half months a year, and I think it is a really good idea.
So I don't think we've got a group specifically identified at this point, but I know that Councillor Ward has been speaking to groups in other areas.
Councillor Ward's hand's gone up. I don't know whether it's you, Councillor Ward. Are you borrowing Councillor Parton's tools and setting up?
No. But I did speak to some of the local groups, such as Transitions Loughborough and also Men in Sheds, about interest in setting up a tool library, a hack space, a scrap store. So there is some interest from local groups already. So perhaps it's something that we can sort of work with them to help set up at some point in the near future.
Okay, that's good to hear. Thank you. Right, any other further questions? No, we've run out of questions. Okay, look, thank you very much. Fascinating to read the panel's recommendations and to sort of see where they sort of come together in relation to some of the things that I know we of Cabinet have been discussing over the years as well. So well worth a piece of work. So I'm going to move on to Councillor Harper Davis. We've got a slightly tweaked recommendation to allow us to pick up a bit more detail, hopefully. So over to you.
Thank you, Leader. So what is proposed to Cabinet this evening is for the officers to draft an action plan to provide details on how and when the officer's recommendations arising on the waste management scrutiny panel will be delivered, and the reasons set out to acknowledge the work undertaken by and the recommendation of the waste management scrutiny panel. Thank you.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. So can I ask Councillor Mercer whether you'd be happy to second that?
He is happy to second that.
He is, and we're now in the regal third person, aren't we? I see the passing of the great Councillor Mercer is one of the first stages. Okay. Can we show our support for that recommendation? That's everyone. Okay, thank you very much. Councillor Ward, thank you very much as well. So that has been approved. Thank you. Right. Councillor Ward, you're very welcome to stay, but by all means, if you wish to disappear off, then we quite understand as well. And Matt, likewise, thank you very much.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.
Okay, you take care. Right, we now move on to item 7, which is Draft General Fund and HRA 2023-24 budgets. We've obviously got Simon Jackson, Director of Finance, Governance and Contracts, in the room. And Leslie, I can see you're somewhere without a window open. Leslie Tansey, who's our Head of Finance, both here to assist. So I'm going to pass over to Councillor Barclay, who's obviously our lead member for Finance, to introduce the item.
Okay, so a lot of that has gone into producing this draft budget, which is going out for consultation between the 16th of December, if we agree, until the 15th of January next year. The major points which are impacting on our budget this year is inflation. Major contracts have gone up by 1 million, other inflation costs have gone up by 800,000, and the pay awards have cost us 1.5 million, which is additional costs above the previous this year of 3.3 million. The other items which have impacted our energy and utility costs, it's gone up 200% for gas, and 100% increase for electric. We've also suffered a small loss of income from car parks due to the pandemic. It's never really recovered fully. Planning income is down, and obviously one of the major things that's gone up is the bed and breakfast cost, which has gone up to 667,000. On the positive side, we've got an increase in investment income from 300,000 to 2 million. The final settlement from the government is expected next week, and there is some hope of positive news and no reduction in core spending power. The investment income from the commercial portfolio has helped tremendously. We've got 1.5 million coming from there. We're hopeful that we'll get a possible 2-year settlement, or well, probably not a 2-year settlement, at least an indication what can happen in the second year, which will enable us to plan. The working balances at the end of the financial year, next financial year, which is the ending of 31st of March 2014, are projected to be in the region of 3.8 million. In addition, we have a capital fund reserve of 1.7 million and reinvestment reserve of 0.5 million. Both reserves can be used if required for revenue expenditure. This year, I think given the circumstances, quite reasonably, we're going to use £1.9 million of reserves, but it still leaves us, as I've just previously said, quite a lot of money there to whether the stallmen see a period of stability while we actually assess what's happening. We're proposing to get a 3% increase, or £5 per annum increase in the council tax, which is equivalent to about 9p a week. We're still one of the lowest council tax districts in the country. It's always worth remembering that when the bills go out, every pound in the bill, we actually collect 7p. The county council has 72p, the fire authority 4p, parish 4p, and the Leicestershire police 13p. So it can be misread. I think the services we provide are really good value. As I said, this is going to go out for consultation. The other point I'd mention is on the HRA. Next year, we're producing a surplus of £616,000 after transferring £3.3 million to the capital programme. The guidance on rental income from the government is going to increase it by 7%. Again, on our HRA, inflation is a major impact. Employee costs are up by £744,000. Utilities up by £365,000. We've got a positive £720 income from the balances on the HRA. The Section 151 officer likes to see £110 per property held in the HRA, and that's 5,447 properties, which gives us equates to a working balance, which is in the papers, of £599,000. The HRA financing fund stands at £13.2 million, which is going to be held back to repay £79 million worth of borrowing, which has an interest cost of £2.7 million per year. Just to reassure you, there's not a great chunk of loans are maturing immediately, a couple of million over the next five or so years. There's a capital programme within HRA of £7.7 million. We also have a major repairs reserve of £4.2 million, which can be used only for capital expenditure and debt repayment. The HRA balances at the end of the year are £18.09 million, which is very healthy. So obviously it isn't just us who is facing inflation and the effects of the war in Ukraine and tail end of the pandemic. It's every business within the country, and every council up and down the country is facing difficult times. I'm so glad that we have got reserves to weather us through this storm, and with confidence we can look forward to the next 12 months, or at least the next 12 months after that and after that. But we are going to have to make some changes, because there is a structural deficit. But let's just see what happens and see whether things settle down. We've saved a lot of money over the years. But I'll hand over to Leslie to point out anything that I failed to mention.
Leslie, come on. Find something that he's failed to mention.
Oh, thank you, Councillor Bartley. That was fully comprehensive. The only slight, there's just one small typing error on my part, so apologies for that. On page 61, it was just for Laura, for the record. So there's a date, on table one it should actually say the actual year 21-22 and not 22-22, so that's just for a small amendment. But now I think myself, Simon, Councillor Barkley, I'm happy to take any questions.
Okay, thank you very much. So Simon, would you like to add anything?
Just a little bit. So this is a draft budget for consultation. The other thing is it's not the final budget, so there are one or two things within this that we haven't necessarily known with any certainty. One of those is the financial settlement. So that's due, we commence in the 19th of December, likely to be the 20th of December. I think it's, fortunately, if you like, it's similar to what we have thought over the months. The latest news is that the government have announced that there's going to be a 3% increase based on core spending power before any local council tax decisions. And I think what that means is that with any luck and a bit of a following wind, we may get about £250,000 more in our government funding than we have here, which is good news. There are other things that may change, so there'll be some refinements to the council tax base, which we know what it is. And then if there are any material changes in the circumstances of income streams or costs, then we may adjust for those as well. But I'm, without being 100% confident, I think there's a very reasonable chance that the numbers, whilst not identical, will look quite similar to this for the final budget. So I just wanted to mention that factor as we move forward into the new year.
Thank you very much for that. That's helpful. Can I ask also, I mean, in relation to that, because obviously we've used our own sort of market assessments on things like income from investments, particularly money gaining interest through investment. We've had the Bank of England raising, or the Monetary Policy Committee raising interest rates to 3.5% today, starting to suggest that as a panel they are having mixed views about how much further interest rates probably will go up. Maybe they might cap out at 4%. What assumptions have we used within our modelling?
So broadly, the projections we are looking at is that interest rates topping out at about 4.5% in the summer of 2023, and then a slow tail off subsequently to maybe 4% and beyond that. That is actually one of the, thank you for raising that, that's actually one of the things that we'll be looking at before we do the final budget to sort of refine that. So
I'm assuming if they do top out at 4 rather than 4.5,
those things can be quite significant. So it's almost every day the projections, or you can take a different view. So notice the Fed in the US is looking for interest rates potentially to be above 5%. If they're above 5%, pays your money and takes your choice, but it could well be that our interest rates follow that. So difficult to say, as well as, of course, the interest rates. The other things that we need to take into account is actually the quantum of cash and assets under management as well. So it's a product of that, but that is one of the things we'll look at, and there'll be some refinement, and that will come through the budget. The laws also to look at will be the medium-term financial strategy, where we'll have to take a slightly longer-term view of that, the treasury management strategy as well, which we call the capital strategy, which will all come through into the new year. And to help with this, we may change that treasury management strategy slightly to maybe chase a bit more lit yield, so go with slightly longer-term investments. So all those things, very relevant point, all those things we'll be looking at, refining the final budget and bringing forward maybe some slightly more strategic thoughts on that in the new year through the standard documents that we prepare and present.
Okay, thank you. Right, can I open up for general discussion on any points? Councillor Mercer, I think I had a hand
up. Some and or Leslie, on page 14, a couple of quick questions.
Okay, well, the electronic version is completely different page number.
This is the general fund additional income. I've got a number on my top left.
Page 14.
Oh, yeah, it's on the bottom right, so.
The couple of questions are.
69.
69.
That's the predicted Conservative majority of the next election.
No, that was. Keep to the script, Councillor Mercer.
I was waiting for you to catch up with me. The two questions are the increase in the rent on the commercial property in Scunthorpe. Is that something that you would do every year, or is that just
each individual lease has rent reviews due periodically, so not necessarily every year, but the rent review for Scunthorpe has come along, and that is the increase that's applied to that particular property.
And on the slightly lower down on that, the car allowance realignment saving, is that not a saving, or should that be in brackets?
It's an adjustment, so there's a net saving, but it was 100,000 or so, and it's been reduced by 20,000, just reflecting modelling of the differentials between staff who receive that allowable, who we believe will ultimately receive that allowance between the general fund and the HRA. So basically, as time's gone by, we've refined the staff lists, and that's where we'll be.
Okay, so that should be a negative amount, should it?
Yes, that's just right. How it's presented. It's offsetting, yes, that's correct.
Yeah, okay, I understand.
Any other questions? No? We've all, over the years, learned how to read local government budgets, which is we deserve our degree, I think, qualification now. Probably even our PhDs, I think, probably now. Okay, right. No other points. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Leslie, as well, and thank you very much, Simon. So I'm going to pass back to Councillor Barclay to make the recommendation.
I'd just like to thank Simon and Leslie and the finance team for putting together this budget. It's certainly been a challenging year. There's not many years that don't appear to be challenging, but there we go. So I make recommendations 1 and 2 on page 56 for the reasons 1 and 2, basically to provide the opportunity for consultation on the general fund and HRA budgets for the financial year 23-24.
Thank you very much. So, can I ask Councillor Baines whether you would like to second?
Happy to.
Very good. So, can we see all of those in favour? That's everyone. Thank you very much. Thank you. Right. So, let's move on to item 8, which is the Capital Plan Amendment Report. Leslie is obviously still here to help with this. If I can ask Councillor Barclay whether you can actually open up and make a few comments.
Yeah. So over the next 3 years, we have a capital plan of $72,451,000. This is just simply an amendment to that plan. We have major items within it, an environment of $15,000 to purchase additional laptops. We've got an increase of £52,000 to enable us to purchase Assure software that will replace the existing Northgate M3 product used in planning and also in environmental health, and also provide a system of private housing. We've got a £33,000 increase for a new HRA digital filing system. And as far as the HRA is concerned, there's some requirements we recommended to Council regarding housing to maximise spending on programme which are being progressed where there is contractor capacity. So we're increasing heating schemes by £250,000, major voids by £140,000, asbestos removal by £100,000, and door entry systems by £30,000. And that's being reduced. Provided for by partially by reducing the kitchen and bathroom fittings by £370,000, and also additional money that's going in. We've also got £85,000 going into LED lighting in this building, which will be a great help. And the programme for the next year's capital programme that we've got is £53 million. And it's fully funded. There isn't an awful lot more to say. Those are the amendments that are going through, and the reasoning and rationale behind them is sound.
Okay, thank you very much. Leslie, is there anything else that you want to add?
Thank you. Through you, Linda, there's just a couple of things to add. We are monitoring the capital plan through the finance and performance scrutiny. We've just had period 7 monitoring that went on the 6th of December, and we'll be doing a period 9 monitoring that will go on the 7th of March, and then the plan will go in through the out-year report. I think as part of the SLT Capital Programme Board, we will be reviewing the quarter 4 spend position and looking at sort of the need to carry forward some of the capital budgets that are not yet spent by year end. So we are mindful of the slow spend of the capital programme. And as Sam has already mentioned, we will be at the same time reviewing the capital strategy for 23-24, so we will be putting the report together in February for that, so the two things will go hand in hand. So that was just a small update there, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. So, are there any questions or any points that anyone wishes to raise on this amendment plan? Councillor Ramsey?
Just a simple question on Northgate. We've got a alignment there for Northgate. Is it that we are extending the scope of the project, so including more things within that Northgate project, or is it that the project is slower than we expected and that's costing us more money and we're extending it from a time perspective? Just clarity on that.
Chief Exec.
So my understanding is it's the latter, so it's taken us longer to deliver than was originally envisaged, and that's mainly due to the amount of time and effort it's taking to configure the system, and it takes time away from planning officers, housing officers, both of whom have been extremely busy. So we've managed to move forward quite well on sort of the licensing side, so the environmental health side, but it's been heavier going and slower going in other areas. So what we need is continued support from the central officer and the IT team, which is why we require some more money. So there is a plan to make it happen, but it's taking longer than was originally envisaged, hence the additional cost. But there is progress being made and it's being kept under a watching brief by the Customer Experience and Transformation Board.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Councillor Mercer.
Quick one, how long does it take for the LED lighting investment to pay off, roughly?
It's, I think it was
2 years.
I was going to say 2 years, so we're all going to 2 years, I feel safe. Yeah.
just in Henry.
Yeah,
it's spaced around
2 to 3.
Yeah,
yeah. It is now such a short turnaround because of the increase in electricity costs. So you know that's why it's become a much more practical and you know, quicker return for us. So.
And are they going to be activated as people walk in?
Yeah, so it'll be, the system will be much more friendly in terms of the customer experience. It was come on and off as and when you need it to, rather than it just being on all night, which is the problem we have at the moment. So it would be motion detectors and so on in terms of making sure that we don't have lights on and we can control it in different ways that we currently can't. So it would be much more configurable to the way that we use the building.
Change the colours.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Councillor Alfredo.
Thank you. It's not necessarily related to the new system, but currently obviously it's easy to go in and out of a room and switch the light off, and I know the security team aren't meant to do, but in the interim period, can they possibly do that? Because, you know, walking by, lights are on with a flick of the switch, and with that in our alone would just save us some money.
So they will do that with the ones that they can, but there are some central lighting systems that just do not turn off in the way at night, and there's some, if you do try and turn them off in a more break the circuit kind of way, then the emergency lighting comes off. So we're doing all we can to keep the lighting down as low as possible. But until we get this new system in, it is what it is, and there isn't much more we can do.
I appreciate they say they don't get the time to do, but it's just so easy to walk by and switch off if they can.
They do.
Thank you.
Okay. Can I ask a quick question? Because I know this sometimes catches out a couple of councillors, which is, obviously we have two significant sums in our capital plan. One is for the enterprise zone investments, and the other is obviously for economic regeneration or potential future drawdown. And it does consistently, because it's determined along with obviously quite a lot of the 106 contribution schemes, which are not under our control necessarily, but are there for others to sort of determine a capital program. But those two in particular I've identified, the regeneration sum, which is 15 million, and the EZ, which is now 13 million, they distort our capital program because they are such huge sums compared to everything else. And I know we have at least one councillor who can't quite get their head around the fact that our capital plan every single year looks like it's 50-odd million and we never actually quite spend 50-odd million. But that's because we've got two sums that just roll forward to enable us when the right moment comes and an investor calls on us to be able to actually support those projects. But is there any way that we can identify those in such a way that it's crystal clear to anyone looking at our accounts that, that those items are slightly unusual?
I think in the report we have tried to distinguish those as being provisional schemes rather than live schemes. So,
I appreciate
so there is a feature there. I have to say, having attended various other committees, I'm very aware of this particular issue, and I think it is something actually as part of the capital strategy we may revisit. Obviously, as you leader alludes to, the advantage of having them in the capital plan at the moment is it gives us some agility, so it means that we're not reliant on having to go to council, and it is having to go to council should an opportunity of some description arise, and also is a statement of intent, which I think is something the cabinet have historically been keen on to just demonstrate that we wish to support the enterprise zone and also potentially regeneration across the borough. But I think it's something that we will be considering in the new year, and I think it's something that will potentially come to cabinet as part of those documents and maybe some of the discussions prior to that as we develop that vice policy.
Thank you, Chief Exec.
The other thing I think we've tried to do in the way it's been presented at recent committees is show the percentage completion against the live schemes that we operate, which is actually pretty good. Yeah. So whilst there are some areas of spend in HRA which is still catching up, but actually in terms of general fund spend, the schemes that we're responsible for directly, the actual progress is pretty good. So we're trying to bring that out more in a presentational way as we go through various different committees, and as Simon's just described, we may need to approach things differently in terms of how we set up the capital strategy in the first place. So we'll bring that back to you, and we can have a cabinet member briefing ahead of the report.
I just want to make sure that we don't give anyone the opportunity to tell a story about the accounts that actually is not a true story.
Yeah, I think we need to be really transparent about it and make sure that people are absolutely crystal clear on what the position is.
Okay. Thank you very much. Are there any other questions or points? Leslie, you put your hand up.
Thank you, through you, Chair. I think that's a very valid point about the split in the presentation of the numbers. So we've done that in the finance and performance scrutiny reports, and I think capital update report should really sort of match that. So you can see quite clearly the definition between what's a live scheme, what's a provisional scheme, i.e. not even started, and sort of all the third party schemes like the section 106, so you can see clearly which are the CBC active schemes really. So we could look to do that in the final March report.
Okay, that would be helpful, thank you. Councillor Barclay.
Yeah, I think the report that went to finance performance scrutiny did actually show that, and I think as the Chief Executive says, we're about 90% on target for the general fund, and splitting it out to the to a live scheme, provisional schemes, which includes the enterprise zone and regeneration fund, and also the other ones which are non-controllable by us, really sort of drives the message home. I mean, we've talked about the HRA and the difficulties caused by the pandemic, not being able to carry out the work, but that's a different story.
Okay, thank you very much. Are there any other points? I was going to say questions, and it almost came out as quotes. Are there any other questions or points that anyone wishes to make? No? Okay. Quotes is a deck game, isn't it? It's something you play online, isn't it? Anyway, right. Right, no other points. So in which case, I'm going to go back to you, Councillor Barking, to make the recommendation and for the reason given.
Yep. I'd like to make the recommendation 1-7 on page 73 for the reasons 1-7 on page 73 and also on page 74.
Thank you very much. Can I ask Councillor Poland whether you would be happy to second?
Indeed, Leader, yes.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Right, can I see all of those in favour? That's everyone. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Leslie, as well. I'm sure you want to stay for a planning item, don't you?
A disappointed person.
Okay. So we now move on to the highlight this evening, item 9, which is the Make Salby Review Neighbourhood Plan, which is just five words that don't feel as if they're in the right order. It's planner's version of English. So when we split it all down, actually it's a really straightforward item, good to see that Savio have spent a huge amount of time actually updating their plan. So I'm going to ask Castle Bailey to make a few comments to introduce the item. We've obviously got Richard Bennett, who's our head of planning and growth here, to assist, and then we'll raise any points of discussion.
Thanks very much, Leader. As a borough council, we've made a commitment to support communities with their plan making. We currently have 10 neighbourhood plans in force, with a further two in preparation. Sylvie neighbourhood plan was adopted in January 2020, but the plan group themselves have been quick to respond to changing circumstances and to review the plan to ensure it remains up to date going forward. The review is focused on 10 policies, including those managing housing supply, open spaces, biodiversity and infrastructure. The plan review has followed the statutory process and has been examined by an independent person to ensure the plan meets the legal requirements. The inspector has concluded that the plan does not need to progress to referendum, as the focus review does not include material modifications that change the nature of the plan, and it may be made in the planning speak, part of the development plan. Under the regulations, Cabinet must consider making the plan to add it to the development plan for Charnwood. This would mean the planning applications are decided having regard to its policies along with the core strategy and the saved policies of the council, unless material consideration indicates otherwise. The revised plan is in front of us this evening in the attached papers.
Thank you very much. Richard. Mr. Bennett, are there any other points that you wish to make?
I don't think so, Peter. It is, as you said, pretty straightforward, apart from the title of the report, of course, which is, down to legalese and the union way that we operate in planning, as members will be familiar with. So it is there for members to consider, as is set out in the report and the appendices. So we do have this legal requirement as a cabinet to consider making the plan within a certain period of time as part of the rules. So it's here for you tonight to make that decision. Okay.
Thank you very much. Councillor Poland, do you have a question?
Put my hand on me. So you're probably aware this is, I understand the reason why this was reviewed, because it was a couple of years since it's come in, and also because of the issue they had regarding the housing figures, which, as you can, as you know, affects many other places, including Quedinburgh, which is not far from my patch. In regards to when the reviews come forward, given the issues we've had with Quedinburgh, Sowerby, and maybe elsewhere, are we proactive in terms of pointing out to those groups where those problems are likely to occur again? So, whereas a plan might be technically sound without that in, obviously the reality is a lot of these are coming forward as a result of planning concerns around housing numbers. So do we actively say to those groups, look, this is sound in a technical sense, but if you pass it like this, it won't do what you want it to do? Are we that direct with them? And then if it is the case, do we then proactively go to them and say, this is how you could change it such that it would do what you want it to do?
Through you, Leader, yes, we are. Of course, not all of our neighbourhood plan groups want to bring forward policies that relate to housing anyway. So some of the neighbourhood plans don't deal with the housing issue at all. They're focusing on other, environmental issues or heritage issues within the scope of their plans. Those that are anxious to manage the supply of housing, we have had to be proactive because they've been, contacting us anyway to have the sorts of conversations that the Sowerby Parish has had with us already. So Quedinburgh, the Wolds, and those places that have had issues in the recent past. Obviously, with new neighbourhood plans coming forward, and there's two currently in preparation, and there may be others coming forward in addition to those two. We are having those conversations proactively with those groups to make sure that they understand, if they're looking to bring forward policies that supply housing, that they understand the implications and what that means and how they can gain control.
Okay. That's a follow-up question without getting sort of too specific, and apologies if it is. Fingers crossed and a fair wind, the likelihood is our local plan might be in place by next summer. If we get that adopted local plan, does that then supersede and affect the need for places like Quenenbury to get that review done? Because actually the protection will exist by virtue of the local plan rather than a neighbourhood plan.
Through you, Lena, yes it does, for as long as the local plan remains up to date.
Right.
So that, just to explain. So anything that might, under the current rules, because of course we know that the government is looking to consult on changes to the planning system, and we may be seeing proposals for a new MPPF in the next week for consultation. But under the current rules as they exist at the moment, for as long as we're able to maintain a 5-year supply and we have an up-to-date local plan, then that control is exercised across the whole of the borough. So that's, if we have a plan that isn't up-to-date, then that's when neighbourhood plans can become more important, if they have identified housing requirements and allocations to meet the need within their particular areas, and that's where they can then retain control in their specific areas. So.
Thank you.
I think the advice would be to carry on with the neighbourhood plan to ensure a belt and braces approach.
Yeah.
Yeah, understand. Thank you.
Councillor.
Just sort of carrying on from that and what the Chief Exec's just alluded to, I think it's always good practice to keep that plan as up to date as possible. So the current rules dictate it has full weight up to 2 years. They are thinking of changing those rules, but as it stands today, it's 2 years. So obviously it's in everybody's interest, and that's why SIOB have obviously got on and done what they've done to keep it as up to date as possible.
I think it's true, as we have always discussed, the plan making is a never-ending process, and you, as soon as you literally stop, finish one, you immediately, the very next day, have to start the new one. And unfortunately, that's probably the case with the neighbourhood plans as well.
And it's because it's a huge ask for the neighbourhood, because it is. Neighbourhood plans and volunteers who spend years of their life doing it.
And it will probably become increasingly difficult to find individuals to step forward, knowing full well the commitment actually doesn't stop at the end of the neighbourhood plan.
And I think as well, again, without getting too parochial, I think the danger of the system is, whilst technically places like Sowerby, like Quenenbury, we know technically why it is that doesn't do what they wanted it to do. From a layperson's point of view, you know, they just say, we spend years doing it and it doesn't meet what I wanted to do, so why should I bother spending years more doing it? You lose motivation, and again, I'm not a planning expert, but you know, 8-9 years doing this role, you pick it up. But so with respect for the layperson, it just, that's their only experience of the planning system.
So I suspect that those comments, amongst others, are probably partly behind the Secretary of State's review, which is to say, you know, is the current process actually working? Because if it doesn't bring people forward with you to understand how the process is actually working for, you know, those developing and also those residents, then is it actually successful in democratic planning terms, in output terms? So hopefully that will start to, if it comes forward, and start on through.
I think that's right, Lena. I think there's a lot of phraseology in the current sorts of planning landscape about neighbourhood plans, local development plans, etc. But a lot of the rules and regulations and triggers are set nationally. So you can have whatever you like in your plan, but there are things like housing delivery tests or 5 years, and they override sometimes what you've got locally, which is an issue not just for parishes, but also for us as well. And you'll have seen that over the last year or two with us in terms of a 5-year supply. So we have made representations to the local MPs, we have made representations through District Council's network, and we'll be very keen to see what comes out in the new prospectus around the National Planning Policy Framework. And there's bits of that that I think will be very welcome, and other bits of it that might be less so. So we'll obviously brief you on that when we know more, and then we can cascade that out to parish councils in due course as well, so they do understand the landscape that they're operating in. Not sure we can tilt it back in their favour, but at least we can hopefully make them understand, or help them understand, what the rules of the game are.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Right. I can't see any other hands going up, so I'm going to go pass back to Councillor Bailey to make a recommendation and reason.
Thank you very much, Leader. I'd like to make recommendations 1 and 2 for reasons 1 and 2 on page 85 of the report.
Thank you very much, and I'm happy to second that. So can I see all those in favour? That review is made. Thank you. So Laura's helpfully added the final comments, which is Merry Christmas. So I would have forgotten, Laura, if it had been. Thank you very much. So thank you to everyone, and the meeting is now closed. Thank you.